Hello, my name's Kirsty Styles from Mobile Marketing Magazine. I'm here with Paul Thompson, who is MD of Bliss Media. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Kirsty. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Thank you very much. So, do you want to just tell us what Bliss Media does? You guys are kind of in the holy grail of location-based mobile marketing.
Okay. So, well, firstly, I'd like to think that we are certainly leading the market in terms of understanding how location can be used to segment digital audiences. The company's been doing this since 2004. Fast forward to where we are today, we are a real-time bidding platform. We're in the programmatic buying space. And we've added a vast amount of both location insight and location data that we've acquired over the years to help us make those bidding decisions. And to make it simple, basically, we would see an impression coming from a building that we know what type of building it is. We also know several other things about that impression, whether it's the device or actually the app or the web page that it's coming from, and we use that to target customers.
Okie doke. So have you got any examples of people that you're working with at the moment? How location is being used to enhance people's campaigns?
Yeah, so we've worked with over 200 of them, you know, the UK's and some of the world's biggest brands this year alone. We will work with car manufacturers who want to target people who are in a competitor's forecourt, and therefore the fact that they are in a car showroom defines them as potentially in the market to be looking for a car. We target people, for example, when they're in the vicinity of a fast food restaurant. We work with most of the major high street brands in order to drive footfall. We work with some very high-end brands that want to drive purchases when people are in traveler mode. So we would target airports, for example, and we can segment within the airports the business class lounge if you want to target a business audience and you have a particular product or a particular branding campaign that you would like to target that particular audience. Or we can target, you know, the family traveler who's sitting in the normal airport lounge.
Okay, so this obviously really does sound like the holy grail for marketers who are kind of looking to use mobile for its kind of truest reason, or truest feature, sorry. I was just wondering, and it sounds like it is, how scalable is this kind of thing? If you guys are doing RCB, it sounds like it's pretty
performance driven. So it's very scalable. So although we are we're headquartered in London and we have an office in Singapore and we're just about to open one in Australia, but it's very scalable. We're connected to global supply. Our location insight is truly global. We're live in 18 markets. We're one of the world's biggest handset manufacturer, which basically I think my ad ops team told me that we're live in every single continent with the exception of Antarctica right now. We've carried multiple intercontinental and multi-region campaigns. We've targeted beaches through the summer period in places like Thailand and Vietnam for one customer. So it's very scalable. The supply side platforms that we're integrated in have global supply. We can segment by country, we can segment by language, we can do a whole host of really clever things in the background that our platform does and has been built to do around being very precise about location. So, you know, airports around the globe, five-star hotels around the globe, key shopping districts within cities. And we do quite a lot of, work with retailers who have global footprints. So they will have, they will have a big retail presence in the UK, but equally they will have a big retail presence around the globe.
Okay, so I'm interested. Does home count as a location?
So the Bliss belief is, our sort of our view is as the world is that, how we position ourselves is that we have intelligent targeting, and intelligent targeting is underpinned by a couple of our beliefs, which is basically similar people go to similar places, and therefore are very likely to have similar attitudes and responses to advertising. And we use location. It's very similar to what you know, the desktop world has been doing in the digital space, looking at people's behavior, looking at the content that they are reading. And in fact, actually not very dissimilar to what goes on in traditional media. You know, people are targeted on content. For us, it's less content and more the location.
Okay, so does this mean that you work with perhaps TV advertisers or out-of-home people to think different media placements?
Yes, yeah, to go back to your question about, we see home as a location in the way that we would see a train station as a location. It dictates a certain pattern of behavior. So at home, you would, if you're targeting a particular time segment, and for us, that's often the evening, we would know that there's a lot of second screening going on. And therefore, there's an opportunity for the people who are using our platform to target people whilst they're interacting with TV programs. Interestingly enough, over the last probably couple of months, we've had a lot of inquiries from all of the outdoor companies who see mobile and location targeting as an extension of their businesses. I mean, those businesses have historically been built on the idea that certain locations command a premium because you have a certain audience that's doing something, whether it's posters outside a football ground or posters in a train station or posters in an airport. That's the value to the advertisers that are using that medium. For us, you know, the outdoor companies clearly see this as an extension of their business as they go through a revolution and more of the out-of-home advertising opportunity becomes digitized and real-time enabled.
So you mentioned supply side. Is the demand side kind of catching up with that?
So definitely over the last 12 months, there's been an increase in demand from demand side platforms buying on the supply side. In fact, you only have to look at the way that the CPM rates that the publishers are getting are going up. Equally, we've seen a shift in the market. As you know, a lot of our customers are the major agency groups, and a lot of those are now really focused on driving the value in their business through programmatic buying. It enables them to do some really smart things at scale, and utilizing data to enhance what they're doing in their programmatic space. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, the figures are anywhere between 12 and 19% of the UK digital display market is in some form programmatic buying. It's probably slightly smaller in mobile, but you know, Blissits, we sit across, we're device agnostic, so we would certainly say that, yeah, we would imagine that the market is 12 to 19% of the UK market. Globally, programmatic buying is about an $8 billion business today, set to be $33 billion in the next couple of years. So it's growing by an order of magnitude, yes.
Okay, look, and a question I have to ask you, and I'm sure you get this a lot, is do you think consumers are aware of this? Do you think that it raises any concerns about privacy? And is it a conversation that you think perhaps needs to be had with consumers about how their data is being used?
Yeah, so I think it's not just the area of the business that we're in, but I think ongoing there has to be open dialogue with consumers to explain to them what privacy means. I think if you explain it in a way that demystified it and without jargon, I think consumers would be pretty open to it. All of the data that we use is opted-in data. It's all anonymized. It's none of the data that we use is personally identifiable, and that has no advantage to us. We need to buy audiences at scale. We know the location and we know certain elements of the behavior, but we don't need to know the individual. That's not our business. And as I say, as the market develops, I'm sure there'll be various versions of government legislation to make it very clear what people are doing and what data is being handed over and why that data has been handed over.
Okay. And so I was wondering if you could tell me finally how, if there are any exciting new applications of location that you guys have seen, or some things that you expect to see in 2014 when all these brand new handsets are switched on and we become even more mobile.
Yes, I think so. So firstly, we're becoming a very mobile population. I mean, certainly the UK has one of the highest penetrations of smartphones. You only have to look at the makeup of internet traffic. About over a third of it now is coming from non-PC devices. You only have to look at the decline in the sale of PCs, desktop PCs, and the increase in tablets and smartphones as people's primary mode of accessing the internet. The fact that, in fact, actually, I read a piece of research that said that your mobile phone is nearly always with you. The average person in the UK is only ever without their phone for about an hour a day, including when they're sleeping, because it's by the bedside. So it's always there, therefore it always represents an opportunity for us for advertisers. I think there's definitely some really exciting opportunities and things that are happening in the market. From our business, we've just launched a retargeting product. So there are certain locations that actually, in real time, it doesn't make sense for certain advertisers to advertise there. And actually, a good example would be a supermarket. The shopper's already in the supermarket. You don't need to target them. The job's done. However, knowing that they are a customer of a particular supermarket is important, because then you can retarget them when they're at home, potentially thinking about the next shop, and you give them a reason to be a repeat customer. So that's pretty exciting. And then if I look forward into the future, we'll certainly be working very hard on building patterns, location patterns within our data, so we can understand the differences between human behavior or consumer behavior when someone gets on a plane and goes from London to New York, etc. And then some of the other interesting developments that are emerging in the market. I mean, we discussed PayPal. We discussed iBeacon. I think both of those are interesting and exciting developments. Certainly some of the things that Weaver are doing around mobile payments and the mobile wallet, I think is exciting. Taking live purchase data and adding that to already the data that you have within mobile, I think is really exciting. And I think you only have to look at where the market's going. Twitter have acquired MoPub. Clearly they will have a mobile strategy. Clearly mobile's been very, very successful for Facebook. I think there's some big players out there that will be bringing innovation next year from the likes of Google. But it's a very exciting and it's a very vibrant market, and there's still a huge opportunity for marketers to invest money and learn about the power of mobile and to generate real insight, because you've got location, you've got web page behavior, and now ultimately you'll have purchasing behavior.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for taking some time out to speak to us today. And I think that location is something that we're going to be watching keenly into 2014. So we obviously wish you guys the best of luck.
Thank you.